Welcome, everybody, from all around the world. Welcome to this podcast, Escaping the Entanglements of Our Lives. You got yours, and I've got mine. I'm your host. I'm Dolphus Q. I'm the originator and the creator of this podcast. I believe that our lives, yours and mine, are easily entangled in things, both real and imaginary. Some of these entanglements are malignant. Some of these entanglements are malign. And all of these entanglements exist within the walls of our own minds. But I maintain we can escape, that we can free ourselves from our entanglements. And it is as simple as the Buddha sitting under that yum-yum tree. Buddha sat under that tree a long time before he reached enlightenment. It's a process. We must keep at it. We must keep at it. That's the way we set ourselves free. We do not stop. We keep going. And if you're following me, you know what I'm doing. And I have not stopped until I reach the end. And what am I doing? You all know. I'm reading and writing my book before your very ears. That's the way I'm escaping. And that's what I'm doing. And my friend, you can do that too. You can escape. It's possible. Escape is possible. But now, like the walrus said, the time has come. Yes, my friends, all over the world, all around the globe, really. The time has come. Yes, the time has come for the reading of the Word. Episode 18, Chapter 18, A Camper to El Paso. When my laughter subsided to a smile, Son Bolo turned his eyes to me. He stared at me like a fire and brimstone preacher. He spoke on the power of believing, the power of thinking positively, and the power of possessing faith, of which he said I didn't possess a single drop. I listened like a lamb. I endured his harping, hoping he would change his tune, but he kept hammering on the same thing. Finally, I didn't want to hear any more. Stop the music, I said. You say I don't have a drop of faith, right? Well, do you mean I don't have a drop of faith in myself or a drop of faith in God? Son Bolo paused for a moment. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about you. Well, which is stronger for me to possess? Faith in God or faith in myself? I smiled to myself. I walked about 5 feet before I said anything else. And then I said rather slowly, well, the way I see it, if you have faith in God, there's no need to have faith in yourself. You believe in God, don't you? Hell yeah, Son Bolo answered quickly. Me too, I said, with passion. Don't you see, when you dig down deep, we believe in the same thing. Now, on the surface, it may seem otherwise, but scratch down deep, we do. Son Bolo attempted to put up an argument, but he could not deny we both believed in God. Finally, he let go of his argument. I smiled to myself and asked him about L.A.
L.A. ain't shit. I'm from Compton.
I saw he was irritated and continued. Living in Compton must be great, I said. Is it better than living in Beverly Hills?
It's better than living in L.A., he snapped.
But not Beverly Hills. Son Bolo glared at me with rage visible in his eyes. Where do I have a better chance to make it? In Compton or L.A.?
You can make it anywhere in California. But me, I like Compton.
I hardly ever go to L.A. Is Compton that far from L.A.? I asked.
L.A. ain't shit. You'll see when you get there.
He looked like he was ready to fight. I wanted to laugh out loud, but I did not want to fight. So instead I began to whistle a happy tune as we walked. A few feet ahead of us, I spotted a narrow strip of cardboard folded in half on the ground. It looked conspicuous. It was as wide as a sheet of writing paper. When I reached it, I bent down and picked it up. It was a handwritten sign. Someone had written on both sides of it in bold black letters, "Arizona a bust," and on the flip side, "Cave Falls, Oregon." Son Bolo speculated that a hitchhiker had got a ride and left the sign for the next man. "Well, it looks like we ain't the next man," I said and chuckled. "Neither side goes our way. But both sides are headed in the right direction," added Son Bolo. "Do you think I ought to keep it?" "It can't hurt," said Son Bolo. "But I ain't gonna stand still. You want it, you walk with it." I walked with the sign held behind my head. I held out the side that read, "Arizona a bust," because I had never heard of Cave Fall, Oregon. Son Bolo had, and began to tell me about the small town in southern Oregon. He hadn't told me much when a late mall pickup truck with a camper on the bed pulled onto the shoulder of the freeway and stopped. We hurried to the waiting truck. Two white men, with a non-white woman between them, were seated in the cab. The driver grinned at us like we were food on a Thanksgiving platter. "Howdy, how far you fellas headed?" "Well, actually, in California, but right now we are headed to El Paso," said Son Bolo. The driver grinned like he was delighted to hear that. "We headed that way too, but first I'm headed to Del Rio. You can ride in the camper. It's a little tight, but they can make room." The camper was about 12 feet long and mounted to the frame of the truck. The door to the camper was on the same side as the passenger door on the truck. As soon as we reached the door, I saw faces at the windows. Son Bolo opened the door. The camper looked like it was packed with Mexican men. If they had worn sombreros and cartridge belts crisscrossed their chests, they would have been the perfect pictures of a band of bandidos. They eyed us cautiously as we eased into the cramped camper. I looked away from their eyes and tried not to show fear in mine. Son Bolo said several words in Spanish. The men all laughed. Then the only man among them who knew a little English told Son Bolo the group was headed to Del Rio, where they would cross the border into Mexico to the town where they lived. He said that the group had worked in San Antonio and had met the driver in Kerrville at the mission. Son Bolo told him we were on our way to El Paso. The Mexican asked if we were headed there to work. "No, we're gonna catch out on a freight train headed to California." The men lifted their heads and exchanged smiles as if they too dreamed of California. I didn't try to follow what Son Bolo told him about California. I heard him mention L.A. and East L.A., but not a word or a single word about Compton. Space was limited in the camper. It wasn't comfortable, but at least we had a ride to El Paso. The camper and the truck had seen better times. The truck was a late model Chevrolet, but it ran well, and every now and then the old truck would overtake and pass another vehicle. The truck had traveled many miles before it began to slowly reduce its speed. I looked out the window and saw we were on an exit ramp. My first thought was he sought gasoline and headed to the closest or cheapest gas station. The Mexican explained this was Sonora. Del Rio was farther south, and south of Del Rio was home. Nancia. The Mexicans looked relieved. They offered the few cans good they had left. I heard the Mexican who spoke a little English say, "No fun now, see? No fun now." I watched from the side window of the camper. The truck was in a commercial area. The truck drove in circles like it was lost in a search of great importance. The truck stopped at a gas station, but didn't get any gas, water, or air into a tire. After a few minutes, it drove off again, but this time its path was like an arrow towards a target. It came to a complete stop, like it had reached its destination. I saw a police station. I looked at Son Bolo. "Hey, man, this is a police station. Policia, policia, parque, parque, policia, policia." The Mexican men jumped like hot beans with fright. Fear flashed clearly in their eyes. The Mexican, who spoke a few words of English, stretched out his fingers and fanned his palms down to calm their fears. Rapidly, he spoke words in Spanish, then looked towards Son Bolo. Son Bolo responded and opened the door of the camper. He returned with the driver. The driver wore a smile as he ducked his head into the camper. "Mi amigos, no problem. Just a small business matter. From here, I head straight to Del Rio, just like I promised." The man, whose name was Pete, sought out the police station in every city or small town he entered. His first move was to locate the nearest police station, then to drive to the police station and park in a prominent spot if possible, and then walk into the station and ask to see the officer in charge. When that officer arrived, he would declare himself a traveler in distress and partition aid on the grounds of being a traveler in distress and the obligation of the police to serve and protect the public. He would tell the officer in charge that he was a traveler in dire scrapes and desperately needed gas to make it to the next town. He would show his driver's license, and sometimes he would be asked to show the truck. But either way, he'd get a voucher for a full tank of gas. But most of the times, the officer in charge would give him the money from a fund set aside to assist travelers in distress. Son Bolo went into the police station with the driver, the woman, and the other man. The group were inside the police station long enough to make everyone inside the camper suspicious. I got up and went to the window. I saw a policeman who walked towards the camper with a clipboard. I took a deep breath and exhaled the words, "Police!" The Mexican men lay flat on the floor. I ducked my head down from the window. I had my fears of the police, too. I overcame one of my fears and lifted my eye to the bottom of the window. The policeman appeared to write down the tag number. He walked towards the front of the truck without a second glance at the camper. Soon after, the policeman left and went back into the police station. Son Bolo, Pete, the woman, and the other man returned. Pete grinned as he followed Son Bolo to the door of the camper. The woman and the man walked behind Pete. "I like the way you handle things back there," said Pete. "I just told him like it was," said Son Bolo, and reached for the doorknob of the camper. Pete stopped him. "Say, you got a driver's license?" Son Bolo told him yes, he did have one. "Well, why don't you ride up front with us? Fred ain't got no license, and I sure could use a break." Pete looked at Fred. Fred didn't look happy at all. "I want you to ride in the camper with them." Fred didn't say a word as he entered the camper. He found a spot on the floor and sat down. Son Bolo went with Pete and the woman. He got behind the steering wheel and backed the truck from the parking spot. He drove to the gas station. When the tank was filled, instead of return to I-10, the truck headed south on a secondary road. "I saw a sign that said the Del Rio. The Mexicans saw it too. They laughed and talked among themselves with Spanish glee. I felt pretty good myself. I thought of how lucky Son Bolo was to be driving the truck. I smiled within, and I could hear his disclaimer that luck had nothing to do with it, that he had made it happen. The only grim face in the camper belonged to Fred, who mumbled to himself under his breath, barely audible, but repeated like words in a loop. No good backstabbing bastard. No good backstabbing bastard. Fred's eyes were watery and wore a look of shock as if they had seen the coming of the unthinkable. And thus, we have reached the end of our episode. And I invite you again, from all around the world, my friends, to join us next time for escaping the entanglements of our lives. Until then, so long, everybody. This is Dolphus Q. So long.